You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, your favorite pop and geek culture show, where we have special guests here, Ant-Man, and... Oh, I just squished him. I'm sorry. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first... let's talk about a few things we have been checking out. And we just mentioned Ant-Man. We might as well go ahead and talk a little bit about Ant-Man. I think it's a little too early to talk, get into spoilers.
Pest boy.
And stuff.
Because it's good and worth seeing.
It's good and worth seeing, but on the flip side of it, there's not much to spoil.
Yeah.
But there's enough, I suppose.
I mean, it doesn't surprise.
Yeah. Just general thoughts. I enjoyed it immensely.
Yes.
I thought it was great.
Thoroughly good. It was different enough. The stakes were a lot lower, which is fine after the highest stakes of them all in Infinity War.
Yeah, this was a nice breather.
Yeah.
This movie was very much needed after the doom and gloom of Infinity War.
Where does it take place in the timeline? Like before Infinity War?
Concurrent to Infinity War.
Oh.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, especially given how the movie ends. Yeah.
And if you didn't see Infinity War and you get the mid-credits roll...
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be real weird and confusing
to you, but it definitely sets up exactly when in the timeline this movie takes place. I liked how they explained where Ant-Man was during Infinity War why he has kind of been kind of spread out and divorced from the rest of the cast.
They gave a real good reason why he wasn't there.
They did. They didn't. How do I want to put it? They gave the Wasp enough agency and introduced her without making it an origin story for her. She started the movie already the Wasp and already way more competent than Ant-Man.
Yeah. I mean,
was
she always
or
was.
Will ever be. Oh yeah. Oh, incredibly. Yeah.
She did train him to fight and how to use the equipment in the first movie.
Yeah. But I like Evangeline Lilly a lot. I think she's a great actress. She did an excellent job.
Yes. And they fixed her hair.
They did.
She doesn't have that really serious, weird hair that she had.
Yeah. But no, this movie has a little bit of everything. I mean, the comedy is definitely cranked up for sure.
Paul Rudd is fantastic.
Paul Rudd is
like
great.
Like you would expect.
Mm-hmm. Did they have fun voiceovers from his friend like they did?
They did it once.
Ah, okay.
And it was very good.
It was very, very good. They didn't overplay it, which was kind of what I was worried about them doing because that was one of the highlights of the first movie where they did that a couple times.
And he was really good in the movie in general.
Just in general. Yeah, absolutely. You know what? All of his Scott Lang's like old team of crooks. Or whatever, because they're like their security company now or something like that.
Yeah, ex-con security.
I see what they did there.
But no, it was really fun. I enjoyed it quite a bit. The villain was compelling.
Her name like just a ghost or
something? Yeah, ghost. Okay. She was compelling and kind of tragic without being like either maudlin or like just super like one note, like the villain from Ant-Man where he was just like, I'm evil Ant-Man, I'm going to punch things.
God, I hated the Yellow Jackets so much.
Yeah, but no, Ghost was really, really good. Yeah. And I liked that they didn't kill her at the end.
Mm-hmm.
The
only issue I have with Ghost, and this is only if she looked exactly like a Destiny person.
She did.
And I mean, if you don't have any basis on what Destiny is, it won't bother you.
Mm-hmm.
But that suit design is 100% a Destiny suit.
Like, I've seen pictures and stuff, and I'm like, I had a kind of a Destiny StarCraft kind of vibe. Maybe because of the name of Ghost.
Yeah, and her name is Ghost, and that doesn't help either. Mm-hmm.
Well, they did the best they could with the character, because the character from the comics is an Iron Man villain. Mm-hmm. And the armor that she wore was, like, prototype Iron Man armor that had phasing abilities. So, I mean, they did the best they could to kind of make it not Iron Man armor.
Yeah.
To varying degrees of success.
By making her a Destiny hunter.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm just going to say this now. In the comics, Iron Man does not have that great. It doesn't have a great many of compelling villains.
No, really.
Most of them are just villains in stolen Iron Man armor.
Yeah, it's villains who steal his armor and like the Mandarin.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
And Titanium Man.
Yeah.
Soviet Iron Man.
Most Marvel villains aren't especially compelling, barring like Doctor Doom and.
Yeah.
And
Magneto.
Magneto. Yeah, that was the other one I was trying to think of.
Yeah. No, they're not the strongest. I mean, that's why you have the Marvel heroes fighting each other so often. Because, yeah.
They're their own worst enemies.
That's DC's bag. DC's got the good villains.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For
Definitely.
Sure.
Too bad the movies can't do anything good with them.
Too bad they don't know how to utilize them correctly.
Yeah, right. All right, so beyond Ant-Man, which everyone should go see, it's still in the theaters. Go check it out. I think it's been out for like a week and a half or something like that.
Week.
Just go see it. I went back and watched a couple of old episodes of Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Always a good idea.
Always a very good idea. Do you guys realize that was... 20 years ago.
Shut your face.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. The DVD set that I got, I started watching was the set called This Is 1997.
Wow.
Blah.
20 years. 21 years.
Pre-Adult Swim, Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm. And
back when it was just William Street.
Yeah. And I tell you what, guys, it holds up. It holds up super well. Like, the jokes aren't nearly as dated as most shows that were 20-some years old. Hilarious. Like, the episode where Space Ghost wrote the episode is still one of my favorite of the bunch.
You go to prison.
You go to prison. That joke you told? Guess who write today's show?
I did. I write
today. Me. I write it. Oh, it's so good.
It's too absurdist to age poorly.
Yeah. Or the episode, I guess I didn't watch, remember this one being on air, but it's on the DVD set. Jon Stewart was interviewed and he was clearly hungover. And they constantly made reference to how hungover he was. Like Zorak was making like really snide remarks about, you know, what would it be like to not interview a hungover guest? And you have Jon Stewart like unshaven. He has a ball cap pulled over his eyes to hide like his bloodshot eyes and like just kind of slump back in his chair. Yeah.
Oh man.
Good stuff.
Reminds me of this. Reminds me of that time I ran into Norman Reedus at a comic convention.
Oh,
running late to his appearance in sunglasses.
Oh sure.
Indoors.
Because yeah. Well
he always wears those indoors.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Cause he's probably always hungover. When,
hey, that is.
He's just being in character.
We're just, yeah, that's in character. We're not making any, we could someday interview Norman Reedus. That's not too far of a get for us. So he is allegedly hungover at every convention he goes to. Allegedly.
If I had to deal with that massive throng of unwashed
Walking Dead fans,
yeah, I would need to drink too.
Allegedly,
I would allegedly need to drink.
Oh, and the last thing I did was I watched a retrospective of Space Jam.
No,
people our age basically talking about Space Jam and kind of diving deep into.
You want to talk about something that's probably really dated?
Yeah, but that didn't. Yeah, age. Well, I know it doesn't age well.
It doesn't age well. It doesn't hold up. I kind of want to go back and watch it for myself because there are some things in there that are just like did not look like it holds up at all. Like Bill Murray, I guess he just constantly looks directly at the camera and is just like making up lines. I guess
that's funny though.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
That's very Bill Murray.
Yeah, and Michael Jordan. Every clip, I guess I didn't remember how bad of an actor Michael Jordan was, but from what I've seen of like the clips they used from their retrospective, like he's just like lifeless.
Well, you know, he was probably a better actor than he was a baseball player.
Well, yeah.
Allegedly. I remember catching a little bit of it on Cartoon Network when I like still like it was probably 5 years ago to this day and thinking, boy, this does not hold up.
I mean, Looney Tunes and Michael Jordan and
both things that are completely irrelevant nowadays.
Yeah.
Back when Michael Jordan was the LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Looney Tunes movies with live action people, do you guys remember Looney Tunes Back in Action?
The one with Jenna Elfman and was it Brendan Fraser?
Yeah, that was Brendan Fraser.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And evil Steve Martin as the bad guy.
That was not great.
No.
It does have Daleks in it, though.
It does. That's true.
And they used them without permission and almost got the BBC in a lot of trouble. I read that somewhere.
Oh, really?
It caused a big mess and they almost lost the Daleks because of it.
Really?
Wait. Huh. How would the BBC lose the Daleks if Warner Brothers used it illegally?
I forget the story.
Is it like the Daleks are owned by someone outside of the BBC?
Yeah.
And they license it out and Warner Brothers like retained the license temporarily or something like that? Does that sound...
That might be it. Yeah. I don't. It was such a long time ago when I read about it, but there was a big mess regarding the Daleks appearing in that film.
Now I'm curious who made the movie, the American movie, Doctor Who and the Daleks, with Peter Cushing.
Steve Martin demanded the Daleks be there too.
Oh, really?
He wanted them there.
Huh. Interesting.
He's apparently a Doctor Who fan.
Oh,
Steve Martin, Whovian.
Yeah.
Who knew?
All right.
That's for you people.
Yeah.
Because we love you.
Okay, so that's all I've checked out for the week. So someone else go.
I played my 3 hours of Octopath Traveler demo.
Oh, yeah, how is that?
It's really good. I said in the line chat with you guys that it lets you play the full game.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of railroads you in a little bit.
Oh, it does.
There's places you can't go.
Mm.
But honestly, they're all places that you wouldn't want to go within the first 3 hours of the game anyway.
Gotcha.
But it's very good. Battle system is like you'd expect from a classic JRPG.
Sure.
Art's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of Bravely Default in that battle system too. You charge up a meter that you can use to take more than one turn at a time type okay. of thing, or charge up your special moves.
Gotcha. Well, that's good to hear. I always liked the battle system in Bravely Default. It was kind of the story.
It was the rest of Bravely
It was
Default.
The rest of that game that I did not enjoy too terribly much.
It looks like the 8 stories don't really connect all that much, which I've seen a lot of people be upset with online, but I really don't. If you're going to tell me 8 distinct stories, that's fine as long as they're good.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so far they seem that way. I only touched on 3 of them in the 3 hours that I played. One of them was a hunter that had a snow leopard friend on her way to find her disappeared master.
Okay.
The other was a cleric on a holy pilgrimage to take a sacred flame to all the churches in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was a scribe trying to find who stole a missing book, which I had just started when I ran out of time.
Okay.
And unfortunately, it seemed like the most interesting because he was gathering evidence in like a detective-y type manner.
Huh. Okay.
But it's cool. It'll probably definitely be worth getting when it comes out. It actually will be out by the time this comes out.
Right. Yeah, that's what I've heard, it that it's everyone that's played it has really, really enjoyed it. So that's cool. That's really cool.
Other than that, I don't think I've really done anything much else. See Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal that I managed to get time to go see that.
Josh?
Bum, bum, bum.
We're looking at you, buddy.
Yeah, you got anything?
Yeah.
Well, let's see here. I caught up and watched all of Ruby, the Rooster Teeth animated series.
Oh, okay.
R-W-B-Y.
I think it's pronounced Ruby.
It is pronounced Ruby.
Yeah, it is. Is that good? I've always wondered if it's good.
I like it. It's kind of weird because it's animated kind of weird.
It's like an American anime.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. In a weird, fantastical world with monsters and magic and schools for training young people to be monster hunters, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby Rose is the main character with her crazy scythe sniper rifle thing. It's good. I liked it. Waiting on season 6 to come out.
Mm. The only thing I know about that show is that there are 2 characters in that in the Blaze Blue cross tag battle fighting game.
Huh.
Yeah, that's all I know.
The only thing I know about it is that the creator died.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, the guy from Rooster Teeth. Yeah.
Monty Ohm, I think his name was.
That's the guy, yeah.
I did not realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're continuing it without him. I don't know.
I think so. Season 6 is slated to premiere this fall.
Ah.
Okay.
I wonder how they're doing. I wonder if he left, like, extensive notes or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Perhaps.
Oof, man, I hope. Because it really kind of leads off on a cliffhanger.
Or they're doing one more season to wrap up the series and then just kind of be like, okay.
It felt like it was coming to, like, a conclusion in the last season.
Yeah.
No, I liked it. It's good. Not really too much to talk about, really. And that one is, you know,
it's good. Check it out.
Yeah, check it out.
Okay.
I've gone back and started watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure from the beginning because I've never actually seen like a whole arc of JoJo.
Yeah.
I've seen enough to get the memes. Mm-hmm. Man, is goofy.
Is this an excuse to play
Roundabout by Yes?
Yeah.
I think so.
Or okay. Like anything by Yes because they have Walk Like an Egyptian and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Stardust Crusaders. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Half the fun is just seeing all the characters named after bands.
Oh, yeah. Whenever there's a new character, you get excited to find out what their name is.
Oh, yeah.
Even some characters who only show up for, like, a second.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a drunken priest in the very first arc named Father Styx.
Yep, Father Styx.
Yep. Isn't there a Ton Petty?
Ton Petty.
Yeah.
Yep, mm-hmm. the Tibetan monk.
Mm-hmm.
Harmon Master, Ton Petty.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Harmon Master.
Yeah. Or my favorite, Robert E.O. Speedwagon.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Yeah. You know, when you first meet him, he's kind of like a tough street badass.
Oh, he's not.
No.
No, he never does anything.
He does nothing.
Other than try to rob Jonathan Joestar.
He does stab Jonathan Joestar through the hand.
He's the anime character that exists to explain to the viewer what is happening.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and has like no powers of his own.
He's like Brock from Pokemon.
Kind of. Actually, that's really apt. Yeah, you're right.
he's the character that'd be amazed.
Yeah.
Okay, so in like 2 sentences or less, can you explain to the listener? You know, I'll give you 4 sentences. Explain to the listener what JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. That's 2.
Two.
You burnt 2.
Yeah.
It's that hard.
It's very difficult. Yeah.
A family's journey through history plagued by the curse of a stone mask that makes vampires.
That's at least the first 2 arcs.
Yeah, yeah.
It kind of goes from there. Yeah, it's the, you're following the bloodline of one specific family, And yeah, the
Joestar.
Yep, the Joestar
family.
Against Dio.
Well, at least for the first couple arcs. Oh, really? After Stardust Crusader, Dio is gone. He's done.
Oh, okay.
And actually, after that arc, the Joestars are done. Like, the bloodline's still there, but their last name, it's no longer Joestar.
Well, that's kind of...
Basically transfers over to Japan.
That's kind of Joseph's fault.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, no, it starts off as kind of like a kung fu kind of
It starts
show.
Off as a fighting anime.
Yeah, it starts out as a fighting anime, and then after a couple seasons, it becomes like almost like Pokemon.
Except everyone only has one.
Everybody gets one, and they're all pretty dudes.
That are super muscular with weird angles.
Mm-hmm.
And they all do really
impossible
dumb poses.
Angles where their spines just don't work that way.
I know. It's like all the characters are drawn by that erotic artist who did that Spider-Woman cover.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
People's bones don't bend that way.
They're all Escher boys. Mm-hmm. If you've ever seen that Tumblr Escher girls where it focuses on bad comic book art where everybody's spinning
just impossible.
Around.
Yeah.
They're like swollen chests of Captain America art.
Yeah, like that
Rob Liefeld drawing of Captain America.
Yeah. We can see his front and his back at the same time. It makes him look like he's like five people wide or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm really enjoying it, but it's so bananas.
Oh, yeah.
That's why it's fun.
Mm-hmm. It's difficult to follow, and it's great.
Oh, yeah. I wanted more with Jonathan. I really did.
Well, he comes back in the third arc.
Really?
Old Jonathan. Yeah.
How?
Oh, my God.
He's an old man.
How? Yeah.
Old Jonathan.
He's an old man.
How?
Jonathan?
Yes.
Oh, I'm thinking of Joseph. Sorry.
Oh,
Joseph
yeah.
Joestar is the...
Old Joseph, not old
Joseph.
Jonathan.
Yeah, no, I guess technically Jonathan is there as well. Technically.
Mm. It sounds like spoiler territory.
It is. And it's a technicality.
Okay.
But no, it's fun. It's dumb.
It is so dumb.
And you can see where the writer like gets bored of his own premise like every couple of chapters and changes the story, basically.
Not only that, his art changed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you go back and look at the mangas, it is like drastic changes.
Well, he's been writing the book for almost 30 years.
Well, true. Like,
it's his opus.
Of course. Yeah, pretty
much. I mean,
much.
It's like Akira Toyama, he's done almost only but Dragon Ball.
His opus of overly muscular, pretty dudes.
with ridiculous hair. Mm-hmm. I will say this, from what of Stardust Crusaders I have seen, it seems to focus less on the quote-unquote JoJo of that arc, and all on Polnareff, the stupid Frenchman.
Oh, yeah, Polnareff, yeah. Well, that's who Guile was based off of from Street Fighter.
Really?
Yeah, the hair.
It's not that similar.
They based the characters very, very mildly on Polnareff.
He's even my least favorite character in freaking Stardust Crusaders.
Oh, sure, yeah. Iggy's the best. The little dog.
Oh.
With his own, like, sand stand that turns into a car.
Yeah, the dog is ridiculous.
Yeah, he's pretty great, unfortunately. Yeah.
When he gets chased through the sewers by the bird stand and stuff.
Yep. We're speaking nonsense.
I know, right?
I don't know. I've never got through the second arc, I don't think.
Yeah, this is like...
Oh, you're talking about with young Joseph?
Yeah.
Yeah, because older Joseph is like the mentor traveling character in the freaking Stardust Crusaders.
I was on the Pillarman, I think.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm... I'm toward the end of the Pillarman.
I just had a great idea for a game, though. It's a JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Farming Simulator called JoJo's Bizarre Adventure Stardew Crusaders.
Stardew Crusaders, nice.
you bonehead.
It's a very niche joke.
Yeah, very very tiny bit of the
you can cross over between
Venn
people.
Diagram
yeah.
on that one.
People who know what JoJo like, is and people who know what Stardew Valley is.
It's like three. There's like three people.
It's us in this room.
It's us. That's pretty much it. Yeah, that joke is for no one but us. But that's okay.
Anyway, other than that, let's see here. I rewatched all of Bravest Warriors.
I need to do that.
Pennington Ward's other animated series other than Adventure Time.
Yeah.
Similar art, but more sci-fi. Mm-hmm. And eventually more of an actual storyline.
And it skews older than
Adventure
Time. Oh, yeah. I love their funny words for everything. Like, sex is a... Sassy times.
Sassy times.
Man.
I watched a bunch more Freakazoid.
I keep flipping past it on my Verve, and I'm like, oh, man.
It's such a good show. I'm finally into season two, where they just, like, dump most of the backstory to...
It's just, yeah.
Like, Dexter Douglas is still mentioned, but he's basically Freakazoid just all the time.
For the most part.
Because it's funnier that way.
Yep. Is that beyond the point where Ricardo Montalban wanted to become his own Freakazoid?
Yeah, that was like the season finale of the first season.
Of the first season, okay, yeah.
Because he does become a Freakazoid-looking character.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so funny on it. Everybody is so funny. Ed Asner is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Cosgrove.
It's great. Yeah.
Who there's a lot more of in season two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I didn't watch season two.
Who knows?
And Steph is just Harley Quinn. Like, oh, the exact really? Design of makeup-less, costumeless Harley Quinn.
Really?
Because it's Bruce Timm.
It's Bruce Timm, sure. Yeah.
So it's Harley Quinzel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole show was created by Bruce Timm, and then he walked away when it turned into much goofier.
Super, yeah, just a joke.
Then he wanted to do it. He's like, this isn't really what I wanted to do, but you guys can have it.
Yeah.
So the whole show is basically Bruce Timm created a box of characters and gave them to the Animaniacs writers.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's the best of all of the Steven Spielberg animated shows, I think.
It really is. It's kind of a distillation of all of them down to one show, and it's great.
It's like Bruce Timm does The Mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. A little bit. Yeah.
Man, it's been so long since I've watched Freakazoid.
You need to. It's right there. You should do it.
Yeah. Oh,
man. Twist of my arm there, Cody.
Okay, do you think we'll ever see a revival of Freakazoid?
I hope
Will not. It ever come back?
I was going to say, I hope he's a side character with this Animaniacs reboot.
That would be good.
Because there's no reason why they couldn't put him in the extended cast of Animaniacs.
Yeah, that's true.
Which was quite large.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they could drop anybody to put Freakazoid in there.
How about those hippos? Those stupid hippos.
Oh, get
likes.
Rid of the hippos, or get rid of the cat that sang...
Show tunes,
or whatever.
Rita and Runt.
Yeah, you can get rid of Rita and Runt. I'm good with that.
I can almost say get rid of Buttons and the kid.
Buttons and Mindy, yeah.
Buttons and Mindy, I guess. You got to keep Chicken Boone. You got to keep the good feathers.
Yeah.
I love the good feathers.
You don't have to worry. Minerva Mink got herself kicked out.
She did, yeah. She made it one episode.
Two, actually.
Two,
there's
really?
Two Minerva
oh, there's
Mink
two.
Cartoons.
Okay, huh. All right.
The salty old actress Squirrel.
She's the best.
Oh, she's pretty
good,
though.
They gotta keep Slappy. She's one of the
Slappy
best.
Squirrel.
I wanted to say Slappy, but it felt wrong.
It's
Slappy Squirrel.
She used to call out Bonkers by name on air for being terrible, because it was terrible. It was a terrible cartoon.
Yeah.
Man, I was not a fan of Bonkers.
No, nobody was.
No,
I watched
was.
It, but I did not care for it.
Yeah, me too.
Bonkers and Marsupilami.
I never watched Marsupilami.
Oh, it was the worst. It was the worst.
I just looked at that as a kid, and I was like, nope.
Yeah.
I hate it. Thanks, I hate it. Bonkers I did watch, but didn't like. I don't know why I watched it.
Bonkers always bothered me because of what it could have been. It was originally pitched as the further adventures of Roger Rabbit.
But yeah. Steven Spielberg actually owns Roger Rabbit, so.
Yeah.
They couldn't do that.
Yep.
Man, I love Roger Rabbit. It's like one of my favorite movies.
There's a lot of cartoons I watched as a kid that I didn't actually like, but I just watched them because
they're on.
Yeah.
They're on, and it's on Channel 28. It's one of the few channels you can pick up. And
I know, right?
And you're going to watch it, daggone it.
I was never a huge Inspector Gadget fan, but I watched it anyway.
I'm a huge Inspector Gadget guy.
It really doesn't hold up, though.
I'll bet it doesn't.
Like, I've gone back and watched old Inspector Gadget. It really don't.
Yeah.
Which weird is, like, in the original pilot, he has a big old mustache.
He does.
I do like his car, though. I've always liked the design of his car.
Oh, the Gadgetmobile is the best.
Yeah.
Well, he had the giant mustache because he was... designed a little closer to Inspector Clouseau from the Pink Panther cartoon or movies. You guys remember Super Dave?
Vaguely.
Yeah, I vaguely
based on Super
it.
Dave Osborne.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Hey,
listen, we got to take a break because if we don't, we're going to go down like a
cartoon
hey, do you remember
hole.
That cartoon rabbit hole?
Well, I was just going to say.
Oh,
Let's do one more. Somebody is trying to seriously push a Gargoyles live action film.
Fine.
The Real Adventures of Johnny Quest.
I remember it.
I remember it.
That.
Yeah,
that was a good series. That was a good series.
Yeah, I was really into that when I was a kid.
Had that kind of cheesy CG opening.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, it had the CG parts when they went into Quest World.
Oh, yeah. They did go into Quest World. Ugh. That's right. Yeah.
I was super into it as a kid, and I don't remember hardly anything about it.
Though I blame watching that is like some of my favorite parts when they reference Johnny Quest in the Venture Brothers.
Yeah.
Venture Brothers and Harvey Birdman.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into a little bit of news. Hey, we're back. That was Roundabout by Yes. We mentioned it earlier in the first half of the show, so we figured, what the heck, we might as well play it. So we have a little bit of news here to go through.
it's a good song.
It's a good song. It's solid.
I can mow the entirety of my front yard during its duration.
we can go ahead and get into a little bit of news here, and we'll go ahead and start things off with, this is kind of half game and half movie news. So they are working on a live-action Sonic the Hedgehog film. Cody, what's one of the big things with this Sonic the Hedgehog movie that's
coming? There's kind of three news items here.
Yeah,
one, I don't know if we talked about it, but they cast Sonic's voice is going to be, is it James Marsden? Is that how you pronounce it? The guy, Spike from Buffy.
Yeah, he's going to be the voice of Sonic.
He's the voice of Sonic T. Hedgehog.
Ah.
If, Sonic I think, if Bleeding Cool is to be believed.
Oh, and they usually are. They're usually pretty good about that stuff.
Number two is they've cast Dr. Ivo Robotnik.
Okay.
And he's Jim Carrey, which is weird.
That's weird.
Yeah, because, you know, Jim Carrey looks nothing like an egg.
No.
No, not even a little
bit. He doesn't even have a huge mustache.
Yeah. Actually, have you seen him lately?
Oh, maybe.
He does have a huge beard.
Yeah.
But no, that's weird casting for Eggman. I guess it makes sense because Jim Carrey does voices, but I never actually thought of him as being like a voice actor.
Yeah, and Eggman isn't inherently funny either.
No, not really.
Like, he runs two gambits. He's either so incompetently dumb that it's like ridiculous, or he's scary supervillain.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no middle ground.
I mean, he's my favorite Sonic character. Just because he is so weird.
Oh,
man, I thought it'd be Biggs the Cat.
Yeah, I was just gonna make a Big the Cat joke.
No, it's Rouge the Bat.
Rouge.
And the third piece of Sonic news is it's rumored that they're eyeing Paul Rudd, Ant-Man himself.
Yeah.
To play a cop that's Sonic's best friend.
Yeah,
sounds good.
I mean, I don't know. When I first heard the news, I was like, I don't. Why Paul Rudd? Why do we need Paul Rudd to be in this movie where he's a cop who is Sonic the Hedgehog's best friend, where they solve crimes together? And then I said that out loud and went, you know what? I kind of want to see that.
I mean, when you're speeding around at the speed of sound, who do you want to have your back but Paul Rudd?
Yeah, that's true.
Officer Paul Rudd.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just hope that casting is not no good.
No good.
That was a stretch.
You really forced that really, one in there, but you got it.
I got it. I got the joke. I got the joke, everybody. Congratulations. Balloons come down, streamers. Yeah.
Air horns.
He said the thing.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah. I think this movie is going to be very bad.
Oh, incredibly.
And I think it would have made a lot more sense had they made it about 20 years ago.
Sure.
When people still cared about Sonic the Hedgehog?
With Julia White as the voice of Sonic the Hedgehog.
And when there was only one Sonic the Hedgehog, one focused, like, what Sonic was. Because now we've got, you know, classic Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
They got Sonic Adventure, where he runs around with people.
You have Sonic 06, where he made out with that
princess.
Actual woman, that human woman.
And
that,
like,
was weird.
We got Sonic Boom.
Yeah, Sonic, like, Boom Sonic with his
arm wraps.
His mummy wraps.
He's part mummy in that one. It sounds like we're making this up. We're not making this up.
We're not.
It's like, what are they going to do? Like, how are they going to try to appease everybody?
Because
that's what they generally try to do with Sonic the Hedgehog.
I have a question. Do you think, A, they will have Tails?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Will they have Metal Sonic?
Yes.
I hope so.
I bet you what the movie's going to be, if they're smart, it's going to be an adaptation of Sonic Adventures 1.
Because
that's probably the most cohesive story. Like,
plus there's people.
The most easily to follow kind of storyline.
Yeah, it's going to be some sort of version of that.
Yeah, well, that's chaos. Because then that way you'll have a giant CGI monstrosity in the third act to fight.
Which you need in a superhero movie nowadays.
Pretty much. But yeah, if they're smart, they'll do that. Plus, that it gives them the biggest.
There was Archie Sonic too.
There's Archie Sonic. Yeah,
it's such a mess, and there's no movies can't handle making a video game movie when there's only one set continuity.
Yeah. I mean, let alone five. I think we've named off five so far.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a couple that we've missed.
You know, plus, in Sonic Adventure, you know, he goes, you know, Super Saiyan at the end.
Well, he does that in all the games, basically.
At this point, yeah. Oh, what about Shadow? Shadow the Hedgehog?
Oh, he'll be in it.
Yeah.
People like him too. The kids love him.
The kids love that Sonic the Hedgehog that rides a motorcycle and carries a gun, because that's what Sonic the Hedgehog needs.
I don't want that edgelord. Get that out of here.
Will have as many side characters as they can squeeze into.
Yeah.
So Knuckles and Amy.
Oh, well, yeah, you're going to have those characters. I mean, okay, what's the over-under of, like, Silver the Hedgehog?
I don't think he'll be in it.
You know, he showed up in the newest Sonic game.
That's
Sonic
true.
Manias? Or no, Sonic Forces?
Sonic Forces.
He had a speaking role in Forces. He was a fairly major character in Forces. Same thing with Charmy the Bee.
Yeah.
And
Vector. SBO. Yeah.
SBO had that really weird deep voice.
Yeah. Well, he's a cool ninja dude.
Yeah, that's true. He's basically Ninja Gaiden
The Sonic.
The Sonic.
I really like Sonic Forces as a guilty pleasure game. It's so over the top and stupid that it's thoroughly enjoyable.
It kind of rolls back around.
Yeah, for at least one playthrough.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
But this movie's going to be terrabad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to not be good.
Terrabad.
Yeah. Let's see.
But then again, wouldn't that be accurate to Sonic, though?
Yeah, at this point, it is going to be accurate. I mean, if nothing else, that means the Sonic Twitter can make fun of itself with the movie.
Yeah.
It's so good at it.
Oh, yeah.
Except for Sonic Mania, which is perfect and amazing.
That's a good game.
And the greatest thing.
Yeah.
It's the best Sonic game they've ever made.
It is. All right, so hey, let's jump from a movie that may probably not be good to one that probably will be good, RoboCop.
Oh, man, I'm so excited.
Josh, what do you know
about... My favorite film of all time, RoboCop.
Yeah.
Actually, the first RoboCop is one of my favorite
films. I'm being 100% serious.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
I love the first RoboCop.
Yeah, the satire in that one is like just on point.
It's so on point.
Okay, so Josh, tell me what's going on with the RoboCops.
So...
The robot cops.
Robert Cop.
Yeah.
Robert O'Cop.
That should have been his name instead of what is his real
Alex
name?
Murphy.
Yeah, Alex Murphy. It should have been Robert O'Cop.
Sources are saying there is, I don't know, rumors, or has it been,
sources, as in sources coming from the director himself.
Oh yeah. How do you say his name?
Neil Blomkamp?
Blomkamp, yeah.
So the guy who did District 9.
And Chappie.
And Chappie.
Hollywood darling Chappie.
Yeah.
Kind of like Chappie. It's different. Anyway.
Anyway,
he is doing a RoboCop sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Not a sequel to the RoboCop reboot they had a couple years ago.
With Joel Kinnaman, where it was just
extremely forgettable.
Yes. It was a movie.
And I don't say that having seen it. I haven't. I just forget that it exists.
See, that's the thing. The movie's not bad.
It's also not great.
It's not great. It falls into that line where it's even worse than being bad. It is just average and forgettable.
Kind of like the Total Recall reboot.
Exactly like the Total Recall reboot.
Yeah, and they also came out about the same time.
Yeah,
just about. So.
Which only worked because Kate Beckinsale just ate it up every time she was on screen.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, that's beside the point.
Yeah. Anyway, Chappie B District 9, it wants to direct a sequel to the original RoboCop film.
Called The Return of RoboCop.
Yes, The Return of RoboCop. That's
Yay,
exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's...
Because the other RoboCop sequels are terrible.
I've never seen them.
Two and three are awful.
Well, they're Frank Miller, so
they're straight garbage.
Yeah. I didn't know that about them. That mm-hmm. the only reason they exist and Frank Miller did them is because of a writer's strike in the 80s.
That's what it is.
/90s.
RoboCop 3, where he got the jetpack.
Where's the one where he fights the robot ninja?
I know there's one where he fights a robot that's powered by drugs.
That's two.
That's RoboCop two. That's RoboCop two.
So yeah, jetpack is RoboCop 3.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, I love the first RoboCop movie so much.
Oh, it's so good. And if anyone can match the stylings of
Paul
Verhoeven, and kind of match the look and the feel and the satire of the original, it's Blomkamp.
It just makes me wonder
if they're going to try to get what's his name back as old Alex Murphy still in the suit.
Oh crap!
I don't know.
Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah, I know.
Captain from Star Trek Into Darkness, the bad one.
Yeah, it's bugging me. I'm looking it up now. It's bugging the level crap out of me.
Peter Weller.
There we go. I didn't have to look it up. I knew it.
That would be a really interesting get if they can get like like the human portion of RoboCop is starting to get too old and is starting to wither inside the suit and have a story about like aging RoboCop.
There isn't much left of him.
There's not much, but I mean, what there is left would age normally.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, you have like, you know, shiny brand new robo parts with like, you know, sick a brain and top of face that's pushing like 70.
Or because of all the crap with OCP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know me.
Was that the name of the company?
Yeah, OCP.
Yeah. Maybe they're not keeping up with his maintenance?
Yeah.
Because of what happens at the end of the movie?
Oh, RoboCop's become a real beater?
Yeah.
He's a real lemon?
Maybe they stop using him and he's just in a cobweb-covered box in the corner of the police station and like...
But like somebody, his human parts are still like active and like human?
Somebody trips over the cord and plugs it and it pushes into the wall a little bit more and he turns back on.
Oh, man.
I can't get, you know... He's going haywire.
He just creaks the whole time. Rusty RoboCop.
I don't know, but I would definitely buy this for $1.
For sure. I'd buy it for several dollars.
I'm going to say with inflation.
Yeah.
I'd pay $7 for a ticket to that.
I mean, I hope it's cheesy because I love the first movie.
It's got to be cheesy. For it to work, it's got to be cheesy. Because they tried serious RoboCop, and that's what happened. That's how you got the Kinnaman RoboCop that is super boring and bland.
I mean, it's not quite serious. I mean, there's still some slight satire in the remake. Mm. It's a different kind of satire.
Just enough.
Because the original...
The Sam Jackson bits.
Yeah. Because the original movie was satire on, like, consumerism in America. Mm-hmm. and, you know, and things like that, where the remake was more about media.
Geopolitical and media.
Yes.
Yeah. It kind of has a transhumanism bent to
it. A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, where, like, RoboCop starts off pretty machine-like and then regains his humanity versus the remake where he becomes more machine-like.
Right. By the end. They slowly strip his humanity away the longer he's RoboCop.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this is going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be interesting, at least.
Deep dive into the mythos of
the RoboCop. Do you remember the RoboCop series?
The TV show?
Yeah.
The animated series?
No. The live action.
Okay, I don't remember the live action. I remember the animated series.
So. Yeah, they end up creating a second RoboCop.
RoboCop 2, T-O-O. He is RoboCop also.
Well, I mean, he looked just like regular RoboCop, except his armor was black, and he was an African-American gentleman.
Ah.
But it was like kind of like the same style. I mean, he was an officer who was cut down in the line of duty.
Presumably the day before he was to retire.
He was too old for that biz.
Yeah.
All right, so we have a couple of quick hits here that we can just kind of blow through real quick. First up, well, let's go ahead and talk about this real quick. Netflix is, you know, they've been getting into the TV series game a little bit, and they're actually going to be...
Just a wee bit.
Just a tiny bit. And they're going to be jumping into a remake of... Much like Voltron, they're going to be making a remake of another classic Japanese style series.
Kaiju battle guy.
Yeah, Ultraman, which is actually pretty neat. I never thought I would hear anything about like
Ultraman.
An American. Well, they've been making Ultramans forever, like it hasn't.
Ultraman. Ultra's man.
Yeah, like the last Ultraman that we got in America, I think, was Gridman, which was Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad.
Oh, man.
They played some dubbed Ultraman on Fox Kids briefly.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they did.
It was live action but dubbed.
Yeah. Okay.
Kind of like the Power Rangers treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was more so with Super Cyber Samurai Squad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, this Ultraman is going to be an American produced series,
animated series,
CG 3D animated series, and it looks hyper realistic, and it looks actually really cool.
I imagine it'll probably be a lot like the battle scenes from Voltron.
Probably.
But, which the new Voltron's really good.
That's what I've heard.
But the first episode is a full-length movie, and I just find it hard to
sit
down and watch all of that.
Same here. But no, I mean, there's not much to talk about, because so far all we've gotten is a poster and a nebulous 2019 date for it. But I like things that grow huge and punch monsters that look kind of like robots. So I'm in. Okay.
I'll watch it.
Yeah. Hopefully Netflix does good. A lot of their kids stuff is not good, though.
I would imagine it's probably not exactly for kids.
This Ultraman, if you're judging by the poster, it's not going to be for kids.
No.
Or at least it's not going to be for young kids. It might be for teen to late teen.
I would see it's probably 20. The same audience that they aimed
young adult
Voltron at.
Like a young adult.
Netflix
kind of
makes a lot of cartoons for kids that are almost all not good.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Trust me, I know. I've seen a bunch of them.
It's a real shame, too.
Yeah.
Inspector Gadget was bad.
Yeah, the reboot was bad.
There was like some frog fighting show that was really bad.
We'll just say Battletoads?
No. Because that would be awesome.
No, it was like almost like Redwall meets Kung Fu meets...
See, that does sound cool, but...
It's not. It's really not. I watched it. It's really bad.
A lot of their DreamWorks movie properties into TV shows are not good.
Like the How to Train Your Dragon series?
I don't know if it's good or not.
It's not. I watched it.
Or the Home series.
Oh, yeah. I haven't watched that.
Peabody and Sherman, though, is actually really good.
I did like Peabody and Sherman.
And the art is, like, really good. Like, the style it has going on is excellent. So, if you haven't checked that out, maybe...
I mean, heck, that movie was good.
I never saw the movie.
I liked it a lot.
The movie was good.
It made you really feel for Mr. Peabody.
Mm.
But in news regarding Netflix cartoons that are good...
Yes.
Agretzko, the metal-singing... Red Panda
Office Lady.
Office Lady is getting a second season.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about the series. I think a few weeks ago I mentioned that was one of my check-outs. I watched the first couple episodes of it.
Yeah.
Cody, you said you finally
finished it. Yeah, I just finished it the other day. It's good, and it's relatable, and it's just really good.
I just think it's exciting to think of a heavy metal Hello Kitty.
Yeah. Which is what she is.
Yeah.
But also tells like super relatable, realistic adult stories.
Yeah, set in like the workplace or whatever. Yeah.
It's like whenever somebody says adult cartoon, it's always like some bawdy
Family Guy
nasty crap.
Yeah.
And like this is an adult.
Get some of that South Park humor.
Exactly. This is an adult cartoon that treats its viewer like an adult, but doesn't have to be nasty.
Yeah.
And it just makes you feel relatable to the characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not just that it's relatable. It's legitimately funny.
Yeah.
All without resorting to nasty humor.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of other projects that come from the land of the rising sun that are coming to America, Legendary Pictures is doing a live-action Gundam film.
Okay.
Gundamu.
I mean, the only person sitting at this table that cares about that is me.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, I like Gundam.
I mean, yeah,
just never
in theory, giant robots, sure.
Yeah, I've just never sat down to watch it. I don't really know where to even start.
There's too much.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the weird thing with Gundam. There are many Gundam series, but not all of them fall within the same universe.
Here's the thing. Gundam falls into that same category as Doctor Who with me. There's so much that I don't know where to start, and I get overwhelmed and just don't want to.
Do not interact.
I don't want to.
A few points. Don't watch G Gundam.
Okay.
But I hear that's good.
I never cared for it. Which is weird, because you'd think I would, because it's basically Dragon Ball the Gundam. No, I am dead serious.
That's a great episode title, by the way.
Yeah.
Dragon Ball the Gundam.
Good SEO on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of being like pilots in a fighting machine, they are martial artists in culturally offensive themed mobile suits.
It's like Punch Out.
Yeah.
Like, the whole point of the series is, instead of war, the different space colonies, which are countries.
Mm-hmm. So there's like a space colony full of Italians.
Yes.
And they have a giant pasta robot.
Just about. No, like, seriously?
This sounds great.
Seriously, the Gundam fighter from Mexico is called Tequila Gundam.
I love it.
And it's got a big
it.
Stupid sombrero on.
Of course.
And like a poncho.
Yes.
Does it have a robot mustache?
Yes.
Oh my God. Oh my God, I gotta watch this.
Writing down, watch G Gundam.
Let's see here.
What about that one where they're like that? Not even the size of humans.
Oh, SD Gundam?
SD Gundam, where they're tiny. They're tiny like baby robots.
Yeah, they're chibi style.
Yeah.
That was a weird series.
Yeah.
Like, you see a lot of familiar suits, but they all, like, instead of being, like, robots piloted by people, they have their own personalities, people, things.
Okay.
It's weird.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Oh, man, there's so many weird things in G Gundam.
There's no reason why they couldn't make a good live-action Gundam movie, I don't think.
They did a live-action, well, Sunrise, the studio who owns Gundam, made a live-action Gundam film back in the early 2000s.
I'm sure that
called
was...
G-Savior, and it was awful. Like, the CG mobile suit battles were just terrible looking. I mean, it was bad.
Well, you get that with a lot of times when you have the cheaply made Japanese produced live action films based off their anime.
What I can say is, being it's Legendary Pictures,
mm-hmm.
I believe Legendary also did Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also did Power Slash Rangers. It's Power Lightning Bolt Rangers.
Saban.
Which yeah. did you guys I know I sent you guys that thing.
Where they're selling all the props.
There's an auction house that is selling off all the props from the Power Slash Rangers film. So chances are that's not getting a sequel. They're probably just going to reboot the series now that Bandai
Hasbro
owns it instead of Bandai.
Oh man, make the Zords look even worse because it's owned by the Transformers people.
Yeah. Or better.
It could be better. It won't be better.
I mean, listen. Hasbro puts out the G1 robot toy line now.
This
so
is
like,
true. This is true. The animated series, the Power of the Primes trilogy they've been doing on
legit.
On G90. Is that what that service is called?
Yeah.
That's really good. It's really, really good.
Bumblebee looks pretty good in that movie.
Bumblebee does look good, and I hate it because it looks so good.
Yeah, that makes me so mad.
It's a Herbie movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Herbie turns into a robot.
Yeah.
Okay with that.
With a Bumblebee that actually looks kind of like Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm into it.
As a Volkswagen Beetle.
And like mm-hmm. Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah.
Right? That's who that is?
That's who that is. Yes, Carly Rae Jepsen. She has emotion.
Also, a color-correct Starscream fighter jet.
It looks kind of good.
Yeah.
It looks like a kind of good movie.
The terrible thing is I'll probably watch it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm curious enough.
You mean you're going to spend money on a movie starring John Cena?
Ba, ba, da, ba. Then maybe you won't see it.
Good. I'm glad you got that. Good. I teed that one up for you guys. I'm glad someone hit that one.
I think it sliced it a bit.
Now just edit it so I got it faster.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. For sure. Yeah.
Anyway, Gundam.
Sure. Why not?
I'm
cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
No,
I mean,
just curious.
I feel like Legendary makes a lot of trash.
They do. They do.
Yeah.
They make trash action films and they make super trash horror movies. That is their two bags.
But you know what? If they get just the right amount of trash, sometimes...
I mean, I love
magical.
The first. I love the first Pacific Rim movie.
Mm-hmm.
That movie is like you want to talk about guilty pleasures. I love that stupid movie.
Oh yeah, it's great.
I still haven't seen the sequel yet. I heard it's not good.
Not super great. Okay, let's see. What can we talk about? You guys want to get mad about the Batgirl?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so this isn't going to work very well in a audio medium because you know, it's comic book? Based off of a comic book picture.
An image we saw.
But so years ago, they redesigned Batgirl for her solo book. Babs Tarr did an excellent job redesigning her, making her look.
It's like one of my favorite both, all-time
Oh, yeah.
Costume.
Yeah. Both iconic, but also a functional as a real life kind sort of costume.
Heck, like, I wrote an article about this.
Yes. She did, yeah. Yeah, you did. She had like basically a motorcycle jacket with the bat symbol and like
snap-on cape
and like
cool pouches
and like functional boots. Like,
it's just a really cool design. It's an excellent outfit.
It was excellent design.
It was
well,
also a good book.
Yeah, oh yeah. And yeah. She looks fashionable and functional and cool.
Yeah, I think that's what I like the most about it is that she was functional as well as like just iconic. Well, they're going back to a more classic design of Batgirl, and actually it's not even classic. It's like they're rolling it back like even further in the opposite direction to where she has like a weird gray costume with like yellow stiletto heels.
It's almost like It's almost the Alicia Silverstone was Batgirl in the one.
Oh my god, it almost is.
And like she has she doesn't have a bat cowl. She has like basically a domino mask with little tiny bat ears that poke out of her hair.
Yeah, it's not even attached. It doesn't look like it's attached to the mask.
See, it almost looks like she's wearing
a headband with
it looks like she has horns. Ears. She looks like Zero Two from Darling in the Franks' horns if you've watched that anime. I mean, seriously, look up Zero Two. Her horns look like the bat ears.
Yeah. But anyway, the costume just looks bad. I mean, I kind of see what the design was going for. The color scheme is based off of Batgirl from the animated series. So she had the gray suit with the blue cape and the yellow gloves and boots and the logo.
Oh, it does look like
that. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, you're right. But
I keep seeing ads for that anime.
You know,
it's pretty good.
The costume is bad enough as it is. Like, I would be kind of bent out of shape about the costume being changed to this
anyway. Back to the spandex look?
But going from a really strong, excellent design to just almost like the polar opposite.
Yeah.
Makes it even more of a negative
jump. It's a case of them trying to fix something that wasn't broken.
Mm-hmm. And overshooting it by like 10 paces.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, if we could make Batman look tactical and functional and make Nightwing look tactical and functional, why can't Batgirl be tactical and functional?
I mean, you could argue that the original switch to the Gail Simone era Batgirl to the
was also kind of
fixing something that wasn't technically broken.
True.
But I mean, at least then they made it better.
Yeah.
They did make it better.
Or at least different in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will argue to my dying day that was the best costume Batgirl ever had.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's right up there with Spider-Gwen as being a fantastic costume.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, we can't end this show on a down note. So let's talk about something real good for like 1 minute to kind of wrap up this show. Do we want to keep talking about comic books?
Yeah, sure. We're on a roll.
Sure. Okay. So, to wrap up the show, they just announced that the ongoing Wonder Woman comic series is being taken over by G. Willow Wilson, who is a writer. She has been attached primarily to the Ms. Marvel comic from Marvel Comics. She's an excellent writer. I always kind of thought that Wonder Woman works best when you have a female writer writing her, especially someone like Wilson who is just a really strong writer and really gets a good feel for writing strong female characters. Strong yet relatable female characters.
When I bought comics, Ms. Marvel was one of the ones I stuck with the longest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, we live in a landscape where any kind of change like that is going to come with a certain amount of backlash because fandom is inherently
toxic
and broken. But I haven't seen nearly as much backlash on this because I think it's pretty universally understood that Wilson is an excellent writer and can do the character justice.
Also, the previous writing team was not good.
It wasn't great.
They were bad.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
They, like, their first issue, they had Wonder Woman, like, cuddling a teddy bear or some crap. Like, it was real bad.
It was not good.
Especially when it went from the great new 52 run in Wonder Woman was so good.
Mm-hmm.
And then That was one of the best things in the New 52 was that run of Wonder Woman.
One of the only good ones.
Yeah. Wonder Woman and Aquaman was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. No, I agree.
And a lot of the Batman stuff was pretty good.
But you had to like know a lot of what was going on.
Oh,
because I was like right in the midst of the Grant Morrison.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of the ones that didn't change a whole lot.
That didn't get rebooted. The costume got changed and that was it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about Wonder Woman. I think this is just kind of wrap things up. This was a
this is
going
to be good. Wonder Woman's going to be real good.
Yeah, Wonder Woman really kind of really deserves to be one of the top three books at DC Comics.
She's part of the quote-unquote Trinity.
I know. Yeah. They need to treat her like she's part of the Trinity. Sometimes they really don't.
Time and time again, she kind of gets the short end of the stick in lieu of like other characters like Flash or Aquaman.
Whoever's hot at the moment.
Yeah, for the longest time, it was Green Lantern. And I mean, as a Green Lantern fan, I was always kind of pumped. But
yeah, I mean, he was real hot there for a while.
For a minute. But no, it's Wonder Woman's time, and I think Wilson is the right writer to do it. I can't say enough good things about G. Will Wilson as a writer. So
I mean,
this is great.
If you ask me who should write Wonder Woman, she would have been in the top three.
She was there with Gail Simone and
Kelly Sue DeConnick.
Kelly Sue DeConnick would have been a really good one, actually. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that would have been really good. All right, well, anyway, we have pretty much hit time, so we can go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us at most forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram, if you want to see some pictures of things we've taken pictures of, at Nerd Overload Now.
You can pop us an email at staff@nerdoverload.com. Your questions, comments, complaints. We still have fan emails we need to get to maybe next week.
We just keep running out of time, but yeah. I promise we're going to get to them sooner or later.
We kind of had a backup of news this week.
We kind of have. Yeah, yeah. Taking a week off, that's usually what happens. But we'll get to
it
next week.
There.
We promise. We promise.
And also you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV. So do it.
Yeah, just why not?
5-star review on iTunes, please.
Yeah, that would be very nice.
Write a review.
Yeah, we're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on Google Play. We're on Spotify, which is really cool.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Yeah, word of mouth, it does wonders for us. Hey, do you like t-shirts?
They're all right. No, yeah, I always wear one.
Yeah, well, if you like a t-shirt, guess what? We have t-shirts. Go to our homepage, nerdoverload.com, and there's a link right at the top to our TeePublic page.
Stop showing everyone your nipples and buy a t-shirt, you nasty, nasty boy.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. And hey, you know what? If you're totally against t-shirts, get a mug. They sell mugs. That's pretty cool. It has our logo on it. They're pretty nice. I have one. It's pretty great.
Buy two if you need to cover your nipples with the mugs.
With the mugs. Two mugs. One for each. There you go. All right. So, again, thank you all for tuning in. And we will be back next week.
I hope I'm allowed to say nipples on the radio. Pizza out.